Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 25. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I'll send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sicknesses among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill and various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon possessed, those who were having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee and Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across Jordan followed him.
Okay, apologies for the heat. If you're not sitting in front of a fan, can I suggest that you move to a fan? There's plenty of fans around. It's too hot to be sitting in a hot spot. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we have an opportunity to be able to hear from you this morning, to be able to have our minds opened to new truths. We just pray that your Spirit will be at work here among us, that you'll open up our minds and our eyes and our hearts, and that you'll allow us to see truth, that you'll allow us to know you in new ways, and to leave here transformed. And we pray this in the power and the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, before I got into pastoral ministry, I worked in the renal transplant unit at Westmead Hospital. I was a nurse, and I had a number of patients that I got to know really well. One of those patients was a woman that I'll call Carol. And like all the other patients, Carol struggled with renal disease, something that eventually would kill her. But she was eventually able to have a kidney transplant that saved her life. But unlike the other patients, Carol had another problem. Carol was completely blind. Now, that made her life incredibly hard. But you know, I never heard her complain. In fact, she would regularly tell me how lucky she was because she had someone to follow. Her words, not mine. She would say, "Chris, I'm so lucky because I've got someone to follow." That person was her husband, who I'll call John. And every week when she came for treatment, John would be there with her. John was her eyes, and she followed John's lead. I never once heard her question his leading. I never heard her argue with him. And I asked her about that once, and she said, "I trust John." She said, "I don't doubt what John tells me because I know that he loves me and he would never lead me in the wrong way." It was the most beautiful relationship to watch, and I wasn't the only person that noticed. We're going to be focusing this year on following Jesus. 19 times through the Bible, we read Jesus say the words, "Follow me." It's possibly one of his most consistently used phrases, "Follow me." It's something he says when he seeks out individuals to come and be his disciples. He says, "Come, follow me," which sounds a little bit like a command, but it's actually an invitation. It's actually Jesus saying, "Come and learn from me." Look at how Matthew records one of those events. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." They left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, repairing their nets, and he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. This story comes at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's just been baptized by John in the Jordan River and spent 40 days out in the wilderness on his own, fasting and facing some pretty tough temptations. But now he's ready. Now he's ready to engage and officially begin this mission that he came to earth to do. And that was about bringing the good news of the kingdom of God to the people living in Israel. And what we see right at the very start is that the mission isn't just about Jesus. See, in the same way that our Creator God sought out people like Moses, like David, like Esther, Jeremiah, men and women to be part of his mission of reconciliation and restoration, well, in the same way, so did Jesus. He sought out people to be on his mission, and he said to them, "Come, follow me." So what does he mean when he says, "Follow me"? There's a lot of conversation in society at the moment about following people. I saw this cartoon. No, I'm not talking about Twitter. I literally want you to follow me. Jesus isn't talking about this kind of following. As I've been reflecting on what does it actually mean, the thing that came into my mind was the game Follow the Leader. Who here has played Follow the Leader when you were a child? Yes, it's an Australian game, or maybe other countries, but in trying to do this with my English class, I discovered that not all children play Follow the Leader. So for those of you who aren't familiar with how Follow the Leader works, everyone lines up behind one person who's the leader. I did think about getting us to do it, but we won't. The leader moves around and does certain things. So if I was the leader, if I clapped, you would clap. If I waved my hands in the air, you would wave your hands in the air. If I jump, you jump. If you don't follow what I do, then you're out. And eventually, a different person becomes the leader. It's a very popular game for Australian children. Follow the leader. I think this is what Jesus is talking about. What he's inviting these people into is a little bit like this game. He's asking them to physically follow him, to be with him, to go where he goes, to do what he does. He wants them to copy him, to imitate him. He's asking them to play Follow the Leader, but it's in real life. He's asking them to learn about real life and the kingdom of God from someone who knows all about it, Jesus. Jesus invited people to follow him, and then he led them where they needed to go. They did that by watching and engaging with him. If I want to get to know someone, I spend time with them. I watch them. I learn from them. Well, this is the same. Jesus wanted his disciples to understand that following him was a practical thing, not a theory. It's not about just attending the synagogue. It's not about just learning and obeying religious rules. It's about relationship. It's about being with Jesus and learning about what life looks like from him. Matthew says that they left their nets at once and followed him, leaving their boat and their father behind. So what was it that they needed to follow Jesus? Well, they needed commitment. They needed a willingness to leave everything behind them. Anything that might stop them from following Jesus, they had to leave that behind. So for these early disciples, that included their friends. It included their communities. It included their families, their careers, all things that were personally and culturally very important to them. But they left them behind because they committed themselves to following Jesus. I wonder what you might have left behind to follow Jesus. And I'm not talking about when you made a first decision to follow, but in every day that you choose to continue following Jesus, what are the things that you might have to leave behind? For some of us, it could be reputation. It could be career advancement, career prospects. It could be financial gain. It could be material comforts. It could be a very unhappy extended family who don't support your decision. There are some here in our church family who very closely understand this cost of commitment in following Jesus. Because like these early disciples, they too have had to leave behind physically their families, their careers, their communities, their friends, all things that are personally and culturally very important to them. Following Jesus requires commitment. Jesus later on said this to his disciples: "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." Following Jesus requires a commitment to the person of Jesus Christ. Not to the religion, to the person of Jesus Christ. It's a commitment to spend time with him, to learn from him, to engage with him and practice the things that he teaches you. It's about growing more like him and then helping others to do the same. I think it's very easy for people in our society to think of following the Christian religion, to think it's about just changing your belief, to attending a church service instead of a synagogue or a mosque, to do good things. But when you read the Gospels, you realise that that's not what Jesus is inviting people into. Jesus didn't say, "Come and follow me into a new religion. Come and follow me by doing these set things, ticking these religious boxes." He said, "Come and follow me. Enter into a relationship with me where you can learn and you can grow by following the leader." The second thing that they needed was obedience. And obedience isn't about just following a new set of rules. Obedience is about shifting their focus from themselves to Jesus, from what they want to what Jesus wants. So that meant recognizing Jesus as their leader. It meant being willing to listen and do what he said, go where he went, talk and engage with whoever he talked and engaged with. And that would not have been easy. Do you know, I reckon that those disciples would have questioned Jesus, maybe not to his face, but amongst themselves many times. When Jesus told those Jewish men to go and speak to a Samaritan woman, to touch a leper, to go to places where Jews did not go, to go back to Jerusalem when they knew that people there wanted to kill Jesus and potentially kill them. Yet they chose to obey and follow him. I wonder if you're good at obeying and following someone. I confess I'm not, and Rob will tell you that. I'm not very good at that. I actually think that most Australians aren't very good at that. We tend to resent authority. We struggle to obey someone else. We don't like letting go of the controls. We don't like accepting that somebody else has a position of authority over us. But I think that our struggle to obey Jesus mostly comes from a poor understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. A guy called John Stott, who's a well-known Christian author, said Christ's call to obedience is a call to be different, not conformist, which means not the same. If I think of obedience, the first thing I think of is following rules. Conforming to a tradition, conforming to a culture, conforming to what someone else says I should do. But that's not what Jesus invited his disciples into. He offered them and he offers us a relationship that is based on grace and freedom. John Stott goes on to add, such a church, joyful, obedient, loving and free, will do more than please God. It will attract the world. It's when the church evidently is the church and is living a supernatural life of love by the power of the Holy Spirit that the world will believe. You know, when the world looks at the church and it sees men and women who are just going through the motions, the actions of duty, when it sees us joylessly just following rules, turning up, doing what we do, when it sees us just doing what we think we should do or we're told to do, it puts people off. People don't want to be part of that. But when they see us actually following in the words and the ways of Jesus Christ, when they see us living a supernatural life in the power of the Spirit of God, being willing to make sacrifices for other people, when they see us practice love and kindness, when they see us speak out for justice, welcoming in the stranger, when they enjoy our friendship, experience our hospitality, our welcome and inclusion, that's when people notice. And when they do, then people want what we have to offer. A joy-filled, abundant life in relationship with God. But a third thing, a final thing that we need is trust. If you think back to Carol and John at the start, Carol was committed to following John and she obeyed his directions, but she had to trust him. She had to believe that he had her best interests at heart. If she was going to rely on him, she had to trust that he would lead her in the best possible way to go. It was the same for the disciples. They had to trust Jesus. They had to believe that he had their best interests at heart, that they could rely on him, that he wouldn't abandon them, that he wouldn't lead them astray or hurt them in any way. They had to trust him if they were going to pursue this life that would call them to give up many things. How about us? Do we believe that Jesus has our best interests at heart? Do we believe that he would lead us in the best way for us to enjoy a full, abundant life? Do we trust Jesus enough to follow him? You know, I'm hoping that we do, because I think Jesus has invited this church into a fabulous mission here in West Ryde. And it's going to need all of us as individuals and as a church to be committed, to be willing to obey, and to be willing to trust where Jesus leads. So the question for all of us is really, are we willing this year to follow Jesus' lead? Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, it is so easy for us to get bogged down in the religion, in the box ticking, in the motions of just doing what we think is the right things that we should do. And while these things aren't necessarily wrong, Lord, we would ask that you would help us to be more focused on the relationship than the religion. That we would become people who seek out our leader. That we want to spend time with you so we can know how best to follow you. Help us to be committed. Help us to be obedient. And help us to trust you in this year ahead. And we pray for your abundant blessing to be poured out on this church and this local community in this coming year. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Chris.